A breakdown of Apple's announcements on iPhone 12 and HomePod Mini, the best deals on the iPhone 12, a helpful math app, plus your tech questions answered. What's going on? I'm Rich DeMuro, and this is Rich on Tech, the podcast where I talk about the tech stuff I think you should know about. It's also where I answer the questions that you send me. In case you don't know who I am, I'm the tech reporter at KTLA Channel 5 in Los Angeles. Thanks so much for tuning me in today. Hope you're having a great day. Can you believe we've been doing this pandemic thing for this long? It's my 7-month work from home anniversary. 7 months in this little studio in my house that I set up overnight thinking this would all be done in like 2 or 3 weeks. I don't know what I was thinking at the time, because now when I think back, it's like, what did I think would change in 2 or 3 weeks? There's been a lot of gadgets, lots and lots of gadgets. It is really the time of the year when just so many things come out. I've been talking about a lot of them on this show. Phones galore. So this week I've been playing with the Pixel 5, which I actually put my SIM card into, and I don't really do that for a lot of phones, but I really wanted to see, like, could I make this my phone? And I think the answer is no, sadly. What else have I been playing with? The OnePlus 8T. So the Pixel 5, we talked about on the show, it's kind of like the Pixel 4a 5G. I'd actually recommend that phone, I think, for more people, or most people, because it's got a bigger screen, and even though it doesn't have the water resistance or the, what's the other thing it doesn't have? Has a headphone. See, this is weird. It's got a bigger screen. It has a headphone jack, but there's no wireless charging and there's no water resistance. And then there's a little bit less RAM. So it's just kind of a weird thing. Like, you would think the bigger phone would be more powerful, better, but it's just not. So the Pixel 5 has been great. I like it. I think it's nice, but it's tiny, tiny, tiny in my hands after going from the iPhone 11 Pro Max. And my wife looked at the pictures I took last night at the beach, and she goes, what phone did you use last night? I don't like those pictures. So that's a bad sign if she doesn't like them. And I feel like the Pixel is frozen in time. I don't think anything's changed on it in 3 years. Like, the camera just feels like the same exact camera that we had 3 years ago. And so that's kind of weird. But I do like the price, and I think if you like small phones, when it comes to Android phones, it's probably one of the best, because it always just takes a solid picture. That's the one thing that I just have to hand it to the Pixel. Out of all the Android phones, it takes a great picture every single time you aim it at something. There's just no thought. So if your kid is making a funny face, boom, you take a picture. It's perfect the first time. Whereas, you know, with the Samsungs and the OnePluses of the world, yeah, you got to take a couple pictures for it to really be good. So, and in low light too, the Pixel is just really, really good. Although I just feel like I'm spoiled by the iPhone, because it's gotten so good with the camera that it's really good. Now the OnePlus 8T, this is a kind of a head scratcher, because as I was going through my meeting with them and kind of learning more about this phone, it's like, wait, what? So there's no wireless charging on this one. And there's, it's just a strange phone. And the camera's not as good as the OnePlus 8 Pro. So it's like this weird kind of, I don't know, but it's got a great processor. It's got great memory. You know, it's like 12 gigs of memory, I think. So that's good. But it's just, I don't know. It's like, and the camera's just not that good. And, oh, this weird thing that's happening to me, which, you know, you take a selfie and it's like blurry, like half the time. So that's weird. But it's a $750 phone. It's a nice phone. I mean, to me, my preference with all Androids is OnePlus. It's just, I wish they would figure out the camera situation, because I would recommend them to every single person in the world if they could figure out their camera situation. Bright light, things not moving, it looks great. It's when you get into the more nuanced, you know, low light kind of stuff, selfies, pictures of people, movement, it just doesn't work as well. So anyway, we got lots of stuff to kind of continue to go through. I'm happy to answer any specific questions you have on these devices, because that's the main thing, is when you're deciding between a couple of devices, you know, let me know. And I can definitely help steer that, because I do spend a lot of time with these things trying to figure out which one is best and what one does better than the other. But I will say, out of the three sort of mid-range phones, you've got the OnePlus 8T, You got the Pixel 5. Well, you also have the Pixel 4a 5G, and then you have the Samsung S20 FE, which is a fan edition. I will say my Pixels are my favorite for like sort of the overall like camera situation. I think that the OnePlus is the best for the software, and then the Samsung is the best for sort of like the speediness and just in general. It's kind of a nice, you know, it's a nice middle ground phone. So anyway, I think you're just depending on your preferences, you'll be happy with any of those. But we're here to talk about the big news of the week, and that is the iPhone. Apple finally gave us the info on the iPhone 12. So I'll go over the iPhone 12 and 12 mini. Actually, you know what? I'll probably just do all four of them right now. So there's two main models, and then within those models, there's two different sizes of each. So we'll start with the iPhone 12. That's kind of their standard phone right in the middle. And then they have a smaller version, which is the iPhone 12 mini. So the iPhone 12 has a 6.1-inch screen. It's got an OLED screen now for the first time in that kind of mid-range, I guess you want to call it, for Apple. And, you know, last year's they had LCDs. Let's see. It's got the new processor, which is the A14 Bionic, which Apple says is like faster than any chip in a phone, and I do believe them. Still has good battery life. It's got the, you know, dual camera system now. So it's got the ultra wide and the wide camera. So the difference here is that you don't get the telephoto lens. That's the main thing here. Let's see. What else do you need to know about those phones? It's got the ceramic shield. So this is like a stronger screen. But like, let's be honest, who's not going to put a screen protector on their phone because it has that? That's just not going to happen. So you drop your phone, either cracks or it doesn't. I mean, it's not like, I dropped it 10 times. It only cracked 4 out of the 10 times. It just, you drop it once and it cracks. That's all you need to know. So hopefully you don't drop your phone too much. Hopefully it doesn't crack as much. What else? Comes in five colors, blue, green, black, white, red. And again, you've got the regular and the mini. So the mini is 5.4 inches. That's pretty small considering the Pixel that I'm carrying, I think, is a 6-inch phone. And so 5.4, and the Pixel seems tiny in my hand. 5.4 seems really small to me. Pricing is $699, $799. And that's kind of it when it comes to those phones. I mean, it's basically just better. Of course, it's faster. And it also has this new thing called MagSafe. And so these are magnets on the back of the phone that lets you attach a bunch of magnetic accessories, including a charging cable. They've got wallets. They've got snap-on cases, all kinds of stuff. So it's cool. It's just going to make you spend more money on accessories. That's for sure. Now let's talk about the big brothers or sisters, the iPhone 12 Pro and the iPhone 12 Pro Max. Now, originally I thought these were the same phone, just different sizes, but I did the Brian Tong's podcast, Apple Bits XL, and he mentioned that the camera is slightly better on the Pro Max. I didn't realize that. I thought they were just the same. You just had a choice of size, and it's like, okay, well, if you want the bigger one, you go big. If you want the, you know, middle one, you go middle. And the iPhone 12 Pro is a 6.1-inch screen. So again, same size as the 12. And then the Pro Max is 6.7-inch screen. And apparently with the Pro Max, they made the screen bigger, but it's like the same form factor as my current phone, which is the iPhone 11 Pro. So they, you know, they made the screen more edge-to-edge kind of thing. And this has the top-of-the-line camera that Apple offers. It also has the ceramic shield and the Bionic chip, the A14. It's got the ultra-wide, the telephoto, and then the wide camera. And the main thing to know here is that they've improved the cameras, especially in low light. They also added a LiDAR, which is like a laser scanner that helps with augmented reality, but nobody's really doing that anyway, so you probably won't really care about that too much. But it does help with low-light photography, which will be nice. It also has a Dolby Vision for video, so video will look better, but only if you have a way to like play it back. So that's not really a thing that a lot of people will care about. They also have, what's this called, Pro Raw. So if you're like a photographer that really wants to edit your stuff and sort of that raw version, you have that as well. Four colors here, graphite, silver, gold, and Pacific blue. The phone is $999 or $1,099. The other cool thing they did here is that they finally finally made the base storage 128. They did away with that whole random thing where it would be 64 and then 256. And so, but the thing is, the difference in pricing was not very much. So you're actually, it was like you're getting quadruple the storage, but for, you know, only a couple bucks more. So it didn't make sense. So finally, it's 128 base storage. My pick out of all of these and the phone I will probably be pre-ordering is the iPhone 12 Pro Max in Pacific Blue. Last year, I bought the phone in the gray color because I got scared. I was like, well, when I sell it, it'll get more, or actually it'll sell faster because it's gray and not green. And this year I'm kind of like, eh, whatever, I'll worry about that next year. So there's the main things to know on the iPhone 12. In an upcoming segment here on the show, I will talk about some of the iPhone deals that the various carriers are doing. They're very complicated, but you can get a deal if you work it. So I will tell you about those in just a moment. But first, let's get to a question. Let's see, where is my question? Okay, Jody says, hey Rich, I'm not sure you can answer this, but hopefully so. I was suspended from Twitter for no reason whatsoever. Had the account for a long time. There was no warning. I've appealed but heard nothing but general thanks for the info. I've been told by many that it's not human suspending accounts, so obviously mistakes can happen, but then what? I heard from someone with the same problem. She was able to retrieve her account from someone who works with Twitter to get accounts back up. It costs $100. I can't really afford to throw this money away, but I think without it, I'll never have my Twitter again, and I really like it back. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Of course, it would be a scam, but several people claim it wasn't, and they got their account unlocked. Thoughts? Thank you for your time. Here is my answer. Oh, nope. Wrong one. That's my answer. Absolutely not. Do not spend $100 to get your Twitter account back. I mean, number one, I didn't know that people just randomly get suspended for no reason. So there could have been something that you did on your account that flagged it somehow. And long story, but this was from many, many years ago. But I remember they did this thing on Twitter where at some point, or sorry, on Google, where at some point Twitter was giving them what's called the fire hose to tweets, where Twitter would feed Google a real-time fire hose of everything people were tweeting. And then when you would search on Google for something, you would literally see all the people tweeting about that. Now they do a version of that now. It's not the same as it originally was, because on the original one, the results page on Google would actually change like right before your eyes. And you just see all these scrolling tweets of whatever you search for. They don't do that anymore. They do like kind of the top tweets now. But anyway, so back in the day, my Twitter, for whatever reason, would not show up in that fire hose. And so I reached out to Twitter and I asked them, I said, hey, you know, what's the deal? And they said, oh, let me look into it. And they came back to me and they said, oh, your account was flagged for because you basically followed and unfollowed a whole bunch of people at once. And this was back in the day when Twitter was kind of new. And so I was, you know, experimenting with various things and I want to, you know, you'd follow a bunch of people and then you'd want to clear out your account to start fresh. So I did that at one point. And so that kind of blocked me from Google. So anyway, Jody, I do believe that, yeah, maybe something could have happened here that you did, not really knowing why you were suspended. I would try to get it back going through the, you know, logical chain of command, which, you know, if you go to help.twitter.com and, you know, start there and just say, you know, hey, don't have access to my account, try that first. And then if you can't do that, just start a new account. Just use a different email address. No big deal. All right, good question. Now, let's get to the iPhone deals. There are a lot. They are so confusing. I can't really explain them, but I'm going to go over them in case something catches your ear, and then, you know, you can go and investigate. Number one, Walmart. They have up to $130 in savings starting on October 16th for customers who activate the iPhone 12 or iPhone 12 Pro on an AT&T or Verizon installment plan through walmart.com or in store. Notice the words AT&T or Verizon. So clearly some sort of kickback is happening here, or maybe that's only who they work with. Who knows? iPhone 12 starts at $749 on installment, which is a savings over the outright retail of $879, and comes in black, white, red, green, and blue, which we know. Now, let me compare that. Hold on. So We said earlier that the iPhone 12 starts at $749, and that's interesting because it says, oh, okay. So they're actually even $50 cheaper than, oh no, outright retailer $879. That's weird. I don't know what that means. That's kind of strange. Anyway, the pricing has been a little weird because at some point there was a premium for the unlocked phones on the unlocked phone and also the phone on T-Mobile or Sprint. But now I don't think that's the case anymore. Anyway, let's see what else. iPhone 12 Pro starts at $949 on installment. Outright retail is $1049. Now, see, now that's weird. iPhone 12 Pro is So they're trending like $50 more. I don't know. Let's see. In addition, anyway, so that's Walmart. Then you've got Verizon. Now they made a big to do because Verizon's got the new 5G. I actually got the 5G on my Pixel 5, and I'll be honest, so far I've not seen a speed that's faster than LTE. But you know, I'm still kind of following that and seeing like what the deal is there. But I do have high hopes. I've said this before on the podcast. I do have high hopes for Verizon because I think that they're going to do 5G really nicely. I keep getting a lot of information from T-Mobile about how theirs is so much better. But again, when I've tested theirs, I have not really seen that with my own eyes. I mean, I think out of all the times I tested T-Mobile's 5G, I didn't really get any signal that was better than any speed that was better than 4G. All right, so Verizon. Let's see what they're doing. Pricing. iPhone 12 starts at $699 retail. Oh, the mini. iPhone 12 starts at $799. iPhone 12 Pro starts at $999. Okay, yeah, we already know all that. Okay, so here's their deal. Get an iPhone 12 for as low as free when you switch to Verizon, trade in select smartphones, and sign up for a select unlimited plan. So what that means is you have to have a really new smartphone, like I'm guessing last year's phone, like mine, or you know, one of the Samsung Galaxy S20s, or a Note that is from last year, and that's how you can get the iPhone for free. That makes sense. And you have to select an unlimited plan. Existing customers can get the iPhone 12, let's see, for $15 a month when you do a Verizon device payment and select an unlimited plan when you trade in a select phone. So iPhone 12 for 15, it's usually 33. So they're giving you like 15 bucks a month for 24 months. Existing iPhone 8 or 8 Plus customers can save $250 when you trade in and purchase a new iPhone 12 on an unlimited plan. So there's your Verizon deals. If look, I mean, what's going to happen is you're going to go on your website or you're going to go into the store and you're just going to kind of say like, hey, here's the phone I got. What deal do you have? And then we have AT&T is offering existing and new AT&T customers on an unlimited plan a 5G Apple device for $0 with an AT&T installment plan when you have an AT&T unlimited plan and a qualifying trade-in. Again, that word, qualifying trade-in, that means you have to have one of the new phones to trade in. So the thing I think is funny, I mean, it's just so funny. Okay, T-Mobile. Now, this is an interesting deal. You can get two iPhone Pros with two lines of unlimited 5G data for just $100 a month. That sounds pretty compelling. But again, it's like this whole thing where you have to stay on for a certain amount of months. There's a lot of fine details that you got to look at. Then they have get an iPhone 12 free or up to $850 off of any other model with late model trade-in and new line of service. So that's nice that at least they say late model trade-in. So that's an interesting thing. So let's say I wanted to switch to T-Mobile, I could switch my phone, which, you know, I don't know how much I'd get for my phone from, you know, if I just sold it on Gazelle or something like that or Swappa, but I can get $850 off the price of the iPhone 12 Pro Max, which is $1,100. So I could theoretically pay $250 for a brand new iPhone if I switched to T-Mobile and, you know, got a new line of service. So that's not bad. That's not bad at all. Get $500 up to $500 off with a trade-in. And now here's another interesting one. Customers that have been with T-Mobile, including Sprint, for more than 5 years can get $200 off. So that's kind of nice. And they can combine that offer with the $500 trade-in offer for up to $700 off. So if you are a T-Mobile customer and you've been a T-Mobile customer for 5 years, definitely mention that $200 off. That's a great deal right there. That's, I think, the only loyalty deal I've seen. So there you have it. Some of the deals on the iPhone 12. Which one are you going to get? Let me know. All right. Melba says, Rich, a while ago you did a segment on credit bureaus and getting the three major credit reporting companies to give a free report every 12 months. Who do I write to get the free report? Is it annualcreditreport.com? I just want to make sure before I give up my info to any website. Please let me know who to write to. Thanks so much, Melba. Now, I looked up this segment, and this was a little bit ago. It was November 6th, 2017, 3 years ago that I did this segment. But it's fine. Here's the things that I looked at. Number one, I looked at Credit Sesame. And Credit Sesame gives you a free credit score that's updated monthly. It gives you a complete view of your loans so you can see your debt-to-income ratio. Credit Sesame also gives you real-time alerts about changes to your credit plus ways to improve your score. Credit Karma lets you see your monthly score, but from two different companies, TransUnion and Equifax. You can also get credit alerts to see what's affecting your score. And you can do something called a direct dispute, which helps you correct mistakes on your report. And then finally, I looked at Wallet Hub, which is my personal favorite. It's the one that I use. It gives you access to your full credit report in addition to your score. It also alerts you about changes, and it gives you up-to-date information because your score is refreshed on a daily basis. It also gives you a credit analysis plus a look at the credit cards that you'll likely get approved for. So I like Wallet Hub the best out of all three of these, but they all, like I said, I mean, they all offer sort of different things. I would not sign up for all of them because you don't want your information out there, you know, as much as possible. Now, if you just want your credit report, Melba, like you were mentioning, you can just go to annualcreditreport.com. That is run by the three major agencies. And I believe, like, you know, the law kind of makes this, they have to do this. This was a law that they passed. But, oh, wow, look at this. During the times, sorry, I just ate before this show, so I'm like breathing heavy in this mic. Sorry about that. During these times of COVID-19, accessing your credit is important. That's why Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion are now offering weekly online reports. So, and Melba, you said to write in. I would just go on the website. Make sure you go to the right website, annualcreditreport.com, and you can request your free credit reports, and it takes just a minute. And you put in your information and you will get what you need and you can kind of look through those. But again, I would also, sign up for one of the other ones as well, the websites, and those are a good way to kind of keep tabs on things. But good question. Let's move on to another Apple announcement, HomePod Mini. This was not really a surprise if you were following the rumors, but you know, a couple years ago, Apple launched the HomePod, which was a very expensive speaker for the home. I don't even know if I'd call it a smart speaker because it was really just a music speaker that had Siri and then, you know, eventually got some podcasts and stuff like that. It was supposed to be smart, but Apple does not really do a lot with the smart home right now. They're trying, I know. But anyway, the HomePod Mini is 3.3 inches tall. It's small. And the best thing about it is the price, $99. It'll be available in white and space gray. And it does work with various services, Apple Music, podcasts, radio stations from iHeartRadio, radio.com, TuneIn, also Pandora and Amazon Music coming soon. So what does that tell you? It shows that Apple is actually trying to work with some of these third-party services instead of just pushing everyone to Apple Music, which was basically what the first one did. Well, now you can use these other services. But did you notice there is one big thing missing? That is Spotify. And Apple has a lot of friends, but they also have a lot of enemies. Spotify being one of them. Epic with Fortnite being another one. Google, they're sort of frenemies with. Amazon, they've cozied up to. There's a long time when you could not buy Apple stuff officially on Amazon. Then they sort of came to terms, and now you can. So that's good. Who else? Microsoft, they're good friends with. They've actually really cozied up to Microsoft. They probably don't see them as a really big challenger because they don't have any phone or search engine or anything like that. So anyway, the HomePod Mini looks pretty cool. I think it's probably going to be one of the hottest gifts this holiday season because it's so simple. Oh, this person has an iPhone. I can buy them a HomePod mini for $99. It may be discounted a little bit over the holidays. You know, these companies work in a little bit of like, you know, a little bit of room. It's like when you get your coffee, you know, they say, oh, do you want a little room for cream? Sure. And they always leave a ton of room for some reason. How much cream do people put in their coffee? But it's kind of like the pricing on these gadgets, especially during the holidays. They leave a little room for the cream. And that cream is the discounts they know that are inevitably going to happen over the holidays. And so they still make their profits, but you feel like you're getting a better deal, even though they kind of had the idea that these things might be discounted. That's kind of what I see with now. I don't think Apple's going to discount the HomePod Mini. I think the third-party retailers will, like the Best Buys of the world. You'll go in there for, you know, something and, oh, you can bundle a HomePod Mini for an extra $89. I think that'll be the price, by the way, not anything less than that. What else? It's got some interesting little features that are going to either, you know, be out of the gate or eventually coming, but it'll work with Apple devices. So you can pick up an incoming call on it, listen to music on the Mac, or use your Apple TV with them. You can also listen to music on the iPhone and then bring your device close to the Mini and it'll hand off the music without missing a beat. That's kind of cool. This is kind of neat too. They're going to, when you hold your iPhone near your HomePod or if it's close to it, your iPhone will show personalized listening suggestions without even having to unlock your phone. That's actually a really cool thing because when I come home, when I used to come home from work, before I just, you know, stayed home all the time, there was a cool thing where, you know, I would always just turn on the same music every day when I came home on Sonos. And it was a whole big thing. You'd have to unlock your phone. You got to open the Sonos app. You have to group the speakers. And then you got to, you know, pick the music you want. And this seems a lot easier. Then they have this intercom feature, which is really cool. You basically say something, you can send an intercom message from one HomePod to another that's in a different room or multiple rooms, and the voice plays on the various speakers. It also works on iPhone, iPad, Apple Watch, AirPods, CarPlay. So if you want, and even, yeah, like AirPods, like if your kid has the AirPods in, you can say dinner's ready, and it will broadcast to every one of your things no matter where your family is. That's really cool. Then there's ambient sounds. They've got rain, fireplace, stream, and more. And you can set a sleep timer so they stop playing automatically. Find My helps you locate your missing iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and all your good stuff. My kids do that all the time. They will ask their iPad where the other one is, which I didn't even know you could do that. But they say, hey, where's, you know, the other iPad? And it'll chime. Then you've got web search results from HomePod Mini can be sent to your iPhone for easy viewing, music alarms, and that kind of reminds me of like Google Assistant territory. I still think the Google Assistant is probably a better thing, but so many people have iPhones. This is going to be a real no-brainer for that ecosystem. HomePod Mini, like I said, white and space gray, $99. It'll be available on November 16th. Let's get to another question. Marcia, or is it Marcia? Marcia? Is it Marcia or Marcia? I've been a longtime fan of the show. I have a question. My mom, who's in her 70s, lives alone and has been having some issues with balance, especially stepping in and out of the bathtub. I was thinking of buying either a few Apple HomePods. Oh, look at that. Google Nests or Amazon Echoes to place around her house. I'm looking for devices she could use to voice activate, calling a family member if she fell, or 911 if needed. I know you're probably going to suggest the Apple Watch for fall detection, but I'm looking for something else as she doesn't always have her watch. She might not have her iPhone nearby to use Siri. Which product do you might think better? Do you might think be better? Is there another solution that you might recommend? I would recommend Alexa because Alexa has a feature called Call for Help, which is specifically for sort of emergencies. It's not going to call 911. None of these things will call 911, at least not right now. But Alexa does have a call for help feature that you set a person, like a family member, as the emergency contact, and it will call that person. So again, cannot call 911. That is not right now in the cards, I don't think. But you can do this emergency contact, which is call for help. And that's kind of a natural thing to say if you did fall and you couldn't get up. You would just say, hey, call for help, and, you know, call a family member. And so I think that's probably your best bet. And if you really wanted to outfit your mom's house, you've got, you know, the Echo Dot was $19 over Prime Day. And so you can, I paid 30 on a non-Prime Day. I think it retails for 50, but don't ever pay that, especially during the holidays. They give out these things like candy. But yeah, just buy a couple Echo Dots and put them around and make sure you set up that feature. I actually have a video on how to do it on YouTube. If you just Google how to set up the new Alexa Call for Help feature, Rich DeMuro or Rich on Tech, it will come up and show you how to do that. It's pretty simple. I've tested it out here. It also texts them as well. And so, or wait, does it text them? Ooh, it's been a while since I did the video, but I think it does text them. And that's part of it. Do I have it?
Yeah, here's my. Now you know that Alexa.
Let's see. Emergency contact now.
So that's how it works.
Call for help. It's a brand new and potentially life-saving feature, but you have to set it up first. Here's how.
Calling your emergency contact now.
To start, so yeah, tap the name of the cold. Can use this feature contact. And it's not
send a text
yep,
message
and it also
to the
does contact.
Send a text message. Yep. Okay. So it does. So yeah, that's what I would do. I mean, I think that's going to be the easiest way to do it. And again, like I said, it's so inexpensive and simple that's the way to go. Good question. Oh, I should mention, by the way, depending on when you listen to this, I will be doing a panel for Cairo, which is an organization focused on advancing sort of the quality of the lives of seniors. So it's all about doing stuff for seniors, and I will be speaking at their symposium this year, which is virtual, on October 24th. And it's totally free this year because it is virtual. Last year, it was a big event, big event in, Long Beach, and it was great. A lot of people came up to me afterwards. We talked about robots and all this stuff. So I'm leading this on Zoom, and I'm going through all this stuff. So exactly what I just did in that question, my symposium thing is called Innovative Ways to Stay Connected. So I'm going to look at robots. I'm going to look at Alexa. I'm going to look at all the Amazon show, all those things that, you know, the HomePod, everything. I got to add the HomePod mini to my presentation now because that's brand new. But I'm going to talk about all that stuff and all the apps and all the video chatting stuff and Zoom. And so if you are curious for your family members or yourself, you know, tune in and it's free. You just have to sign up before. So registration closes on October 22nd. So anyway, check it out. It's keiro.org, keiro.org. Of course, I will link it up in the show notes. All right, this is a really neat app that I did a segment on KTLA about, and I did it on my Facebook page and my Instagram and my YouTube. My YouTube is really sad because I've never gotten followers on YouTube. Like, I've never tried to build that. So it's really funny to me that, like, I can post the same exact video to YouTube and get 300 views that I can post to Instagram or Facebook and get, you know, tens of thousands of views. And so it's just kind of funny, but I don't advertise my YouTube. I just put it out there. People that find it, sure, it's great. And it has been growing over the pandemic. I mean, I have 20,000 followers there, so that's cool, but it's not a thing. Like, I don't have a relationship with those people. It's not like I'm sitting there like a YouTuber, like doing a video every week, you know, maybe one day, but not right now. And so, you know, my primary focus is TV, because that's, you know, that's my job. The social media stuff is just fun. And I love it because I can interact with people in a real-time basis. And so, you know, and I have grown a following on Facebook and Instagram. But anyway, I digress. The PhotoMath is a video or an app that solves math problems. And this is really cool because I know, oh, kids can cheat with it. Don't worry about your kids cheating. Worry about how this can teach them how to do the math problems that you may have problems with, or you may have an issue with, or you need some help figuring them out. But it's really neat. It uses AI to snap a picture. You snap a picture of it with your phone, and instantly it, you know, figures out what the problem is, and it shows you step by step how to solve it. Now, there is a caveat here. The step by step stuff is just okay if you don't pay. It's like pretty simple, but if you pay, which is anywhere from $10 a month to $60 for the year, obviously you pay less depending on how much in advance you pay, but or how much you prepay, I should say. But it's really, really cool to watch the, I signed up for the Plus as a, you know, free trial. And it's just so cool to watch the animations because it brings back the concepts of math that I have forgotten.
And I explained this in the video, but you know, if you had to do something like, you know, 414 divided by 2, you could figure that out in, you know, 2 seconds in your head that that's 207, right? Let me just make sure that I got that right, because I don't want to. 414 divided by 2, yeah, is 207. Okay, just making sure. I don't want to say that, and then it's like, Rich, what are you talking about? But this will show you how to do it. Remember long division? Like, you'd have to write all the, like, I forgot how to do that until this app showed me. The app does all kinds of problems, from algebra to basic math. It does Common Core, which I know in California is a big deal. I don't really get it, because that's not how I was raised, but it somehow is the weird way they do math nowadays. This solves 1.5 billion math problems monthly. And it's not new. Don't say, Rich, I can't believe you're telling me about apps that have been around forever. You know nothing. I'm smarter than the tech guy. Yeah, I get those emails. But this is an, look, I'm just telling you something. When I looked it up in my email, yes, I had downloaded this app like years ago. But, you know, there's always new people coming on board the Rich on Tech train. So I want to bring you guys on board and tell you what's going on. And even if you weren't following me 5 years ago when I first might have mentioned this. Anyway, it's called Photomath. It's available for iOS and Android. Check it out. It is really, really cool. Gail asks, is it best to turn off my home PC when I'm not using it? I usually only use for a few hours in the morning. Turn it off and go to work. I have a desktop Windows 10 PC with an external backup hard drive. What do you suggest? Thanks, Gail. Well, Gail, first off, you get a star. You know what? One of these days, I will remember what these sounds are assigned to on my soundboard. My friend Bald Brian would be so ashamed of me if he ever heard this podcast. And thankfully, he does not tune in, because he's not interested in anything I do professionally. But he does sound for the Adam Carolla Show, and he, you know, has a million sounds at his disposal. And his whole thing, I mean, he's made a living on the fact that he comes up with these really good sounds very fast. And I can't even get 4 sounds right. There we go. So, Gail, you get the gold star for using an external backup hard drive. I love that you're backing up your computer. But when it comes to turning off your computer every day, I would say no way. You don't want to turn off your computer every day. These computers are meant to stay on, especially a desktop. It can stay on forever until you need to restart it for a software update. It's not, I think that the power use is negligible. And I think that the bigger thing you should be concerned about is the majority of times that a hard drive is going to fail is upon startup. So if you're doing that every day, not very good. So I would leave it on. Make sure you check your settings in the energy panel and make sure that you have your, you know, hard drive go to sleep and your computer monitor and all that stuff go off after a certain amount of time of non-use. Or, you know, go to sleep after a certain amount of time of unuse or non-use. And that, I think, is a better way. And you can let me know. I mean, maybe that's my answer. Now, you know, maybe you have a better answer, but I don't ever turn off my laptop. I don't think I've ever turned it off in, you know, in 10 years. I've had different laptops, but I'm just saying I don't ever power it down. The only time I power it down is if I'm going on vacation and I'm leaving it home, I will power it down. And so I think you should do that too. But otherwise, no, leave your computer on during the week and it should be just fine. Now on Google, you can hum to search. Google introduced a new feature that lets you hum, whistle, or sing a melody to the Google app, which will then figure out the song. That's kind of cool. Let's see. Let's see if I can do this. I have my phone right here with Google Assistant. Let's try it. Okay, that did not work at all. okay, what's another song? Oh, let's try another one. Here we go. Oh, okay, I see what's happening here. You have to see, that's a problem. Let's try this. There we go. Okay, we're waiting there. Okay, it did not get that.
Okay, so here's how you have to do it, because that was the first time I've ever done that. You have to tap the voice search and then start humming, and it will recognize that you're making some sort of noise. And then it will say, do you want to search a song? You tap that little button there, and then you start humming more. You got to sing for 10 to 15 seconds, according to this Variety article. It did not work. It said Las Mañanitas, which I mean, I assumed that you figured out I was singing Happy Birthday. Let me try another one. Ready? I'll do We Are the World. Oh, look at that. It got it. We Are the World, USA for Africa, 23% match. Good job, Google. That is amazing. Now, I think that's cool, but I mean, this has been around for a long time. Have you ever heard of an app called SoundHound? Now, I know that Shazam captured the popular attention, but SoundHound was always out there, and SoundHound was, I always thought, better than Shazam. Shazam, by the way, was purchased by Apple and it's now built into iOS 14. But I always thought SoundHound was cool because it had a slight edge over Shazam. And the thing about Shazam that's a little bit different that you might not know is that Shazam has to be sort of programmed to listen to these songs, like to understand these songs. Whereas SoundHound, you could hum something and it would figure it out. And so anyway, I think Shazam has to be fingerprinted. That's the word, right? Like the song has to be fingerprinted for it to be recognized. But anyway, it's still cool that it's built into Google. Maybe, you know, I don't think Google bought this, but that's it. There you go. Feature is currently available in English on iOS and in more than 20 languages on Android. Hum to Search is also available through Google Assistant, which is what I just tried. But pretty neat. One more way to search Google. They are so smart. Let's see. Matthew says, good afternoon. Oh, good afternoon, Rich. I'm in the process of buying a new home. I know, during a pandemic, that's crazy. My wife and I are trying to think of Prime Day deals. Oh, I'm a little late on this. That will serve me well in the coming months as we transition from an apartment to an actual home. We saw that the Ring Alarm 14-piece kit second generation with Echo Dot is on sale, which seems like a great deal. Do you know if this is their newest model or if they plan to update it? Should I wait for a new system or pull the trigger on this one? Ring seems like a great system. I'm excited to add the Always Home drone to the system when it launches next year. Really love the podcast and your enthusiasm during this dark year. Matt. Well, thank you, Matt. I do try to stay enthusiastic, but I'll be honest. Some days it is really tough. You know, like some days I wake up and I feel like I can take on the world. Other days I wake up and I just want to crawl under a rock because I'm like, is this really still happening? So if that's happening to you, I think that is perfectly normal. Now, I am a little bit more enthusiastic than the next guy or the next person. In general, I've always been like that. You know, I've kind of roll out of bed with a spring in my step and, you know, just kind of like see things a little bit more positively than some people. But this has been a true test of my positivity and enthusiasm. Believe you me. Matt, on to your answer. I would say absolutely 100% get the Ring alarm. I was actually thinking of transitioning to this myself. When I look at the landscape of security out there, I think that Ring has the most momentum behind them. When you look at the gadgets that they have in their arsenal, there is so much to choose from. They are continuing to evolve. I know some people don't like them because they're owned by Amazon, but don't let that distract you or deter you. I think that the Ring alarm system, the second gen, which has not been out for too long, maybe a year or two, is amazing. They've got the video doorbells down. They invented that genre. They've got smart lighting. They've got, just so much stuff. What else? Everything. I mean, they really just have so many things, security cameras. So I think at one point I am going to, I will eventually switch over everything in my house to Ring just because I feel like they've got it going on. And I think that that's kind of like where I want to be. Whereas
the security provider that I'm currently with. It's like, it's been great, but it's kind of like, it's a little bit tired. And so I think that Ring is exciting, and it's just a matter of like sort of money. It's like, I have to decide one day to kind of, spend the money on all this stuff, which I need the new alarm system. I need, new cameras, everything. You got to get all this stuff, but they have so many great cameras, the stick up cams, all this stuff. Look at this. And even with your alarm system, you've got a flood and freeze sensor, smoke and carbon dioxide listener, panic button, motion detector. You also have that the little sensor for your mailbox. You've got the stick up cam. You got so much going on. So yes, I would 100%. And thank you for your kind words and good luck with the new house. It is a blessing. It is amazing. It is so cool to have your own house because you can actually do stuff that you never wanted to do in your apartment, even though I'm still scared to put a hole in my wall. What a fun show. Oh no. Is that it already? Why does this music always have to come up so fast? That is going to do it for this episode of the show. If you'd like to submit in a question for me to answer, just go to richontech.tv, hit that email button at the bottom of the page, or just send me an email directly, hello@richontech.tv. Also, I would love it if you would rate and review the show. That helps other people discover it somehow, some way, I think. And a lot of you did this last time, so thank you if you were one of them. Go to ratethispodcast.com/richontech. I know that a lot of you did it because I get a cease and desist order from ratethispodcast.com who says, until you start paying, your link no longer works. So they let a couple of people do it for free every month, and then they cut me off. So let's see. Let's see how many people. Ratethispodcast.com. They don't tell me how many people do it through there, but they just tell me when the switch is shut off. So let's see, pricing. So for free, where's the pricing? Oh, free plan, 5 reviews a month. So I guess 5 of you did it last month at least. One of those reviews was very nice. Dan Calvi says, I have been listening to this podcast for quite a while. I'm an IT tech support geek. I support the servers, workstations, printers, networks, iPhones, and iPads at work. Whenever Rich reads a tech question, I often have a solution. It's not always the same solution, but it's nice to hear other ideas. My solutions often involve making changes to the registry, editing or deleting files the average person should not touch. This show does a great job of announcing software and gadgets that will be released soon. His reviews help me decide whether or not to purchase a particular item. Keep up the great work, Dan in Roland Heights. Dan, you're awesome. Thank you so much for that review. Thanks for listening to the show. And please just tell like 100 more friends about it. Thank you. Just kidding. You can find me at Rich on Tech. That's where you'll find me on all social medias. My name is Rich DeMuro. Thanks so much for listening, watching. Stay safe. I will talk to you real soon.